Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to a special episode of Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics. And on this episode, I had a chance to sit down and talk with one of my favorite directors, Nikki Caro. She's the director behind the new film, the new Holocaust drama, The Zookeeper's Wife. Now, she's also the director of one of my favorite movies of all time, Whale Rider. She also did North Country. And I just feel like she has this way with getting the best performances from her actresses. And that's something that not every director can do. And you can kind of hear me gushing to her in the beginning of this interview. It's kind of embarrassing, but I'm not afraid to show that every now and then. Cause look, it's just like I told her, it's not often that I interview somebody that I really, really respect and really, really like. And this was in one of the few cases where I had that opportunity. So I was happy to show it. So here's my interview with Nikki Caro talking about The Zookeeper's Wife, which is the story of Jan and Antonina Zubinska, zookeepers who turned their zoo into a kind of a way station for escaping Jews after the Nazis invaded Poland during World War II. So it's a serious drama. I enjoyed it a lot. Check out the interview. I hope you enjoy it. It's only on a few occasions when I'm actually meeting somebody that I really, really like. So,
And can I ask you a question? Because I don't know. You can. What is it that you like?
All I know is that I've been very fond of your movies, whether it's Whale Rider, which I adore, I like North Country. I think you have a real talent for getting amazing performances out of your lead actresses. This is actually a question I was going to ask you, so I'm not going to ask you now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you do, whether it's Keisha Cash Hughes or Charlize Theron, you really seem to have a way with working with your lead actresses. And I don't know if it's something that you're doing or whether it's some sort of conscious effort on your part. But and now with Jessica Chastain as well.
Yes.
I guess that's sort of my question.
Okay, that's easy to answer. I have really good taste. and I like to think I have good instinct, and it's a combination of those two. I believe directing, you know, really good directing, pretty much 90% casting. to find brilliant actors that I. Oh, my stomach. that I have.
I don't think you recorded picture.
Yeah, brilliant actors that I have easy and effective and collaborations with, because my directing style, if you like, is not to boss people around and tell them what to do and where to stand and hit your mark and do all of those sorts of things. It's quite the opposite. It's to create, and at the best that I can, a real environment for those actors to explore and live in and be with each other in. So it's not rocket science. It's just casting great people and telling stories about great characters.
Well, not everybody can do it. So, and even when they have great casts. So, like I said, not everybody can do it. So the fact that you're able to do it, there's something about you that you're able to do it. So maybe. Whatever, but I would imagine that with this production, having it be a collaborative effort is more important than ever. I mean, it's I imagine this was a different set than maybe you're used to, animals and all sorts of other things. Did you guys build a replica of the zoo as well?
Yeah, we built the zoo and we filled it with exotic animals, because I couldn't see a way to make an authentic screen version of this story, this true story, by using fake animals. I didn't see how I could do that. But as far as the set is concerned, it was really the same way of working as I would normally work. And the animals were given the same level of privilege that I would give the actor, and that they were free to, they were very safe, they were very relaxed, they were very curious, and I was blessed by the magnificent creature that is Jessica Chastain, that she is literally an animal whisperer, and she loves them, and they love her, and there's this almost kind of spooky otherworldly connection between her and whatever creature she's working with, so that I could create an environment that I would do for actors anyway, which is an environment where they can just be and exist and play off of one another in that moment.
Right.
It's very organic.
Well, I mean, it comes across on the screen. Now, for me, I had never heard this story before.
I know, right?
Was this something you were familiar with before you came across this to the film?
No, I had never heard the name Antonina Savinska, let alone the role she played in history. Mm-hmm. So I was shocked and amazed. Amazed also that it hadn't been made into a movie before.
Right.
Privileged that we got to be the ones to do it. Yeah, and so thrilled to share her story with a wide audience and have her take her place in history. And as representative of, you know, as this, I'm talking to people about the story, I'm learning about other people that sheltered Jews, that, you know, no spotlight is on them. We screened at the Holocaust Museum last night, and I did the tour, and I got, you know, you get somebody's papers, and you get, there's female ones and male ones. So, of course, I reached into the female pile, and I got a person, but my person was male. And not only was he male, but he was from the Czech Republic, is from the Czech Republic, because I think he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
He's from the very region that my beloved assistant was from. We shot there. He was sheltered. He faked his own suicide, and he was sheltered by his cleaning lady for 3 years in a dugout basement beneath her barn. And when the war was over, he emigrated to Australia. So that's a lot of coincidences.
Yeah.
Firstly, but also I thought, wow, here's another woman, his cleaning lady.
Another
Christian woman.
Stuff like that. I mean, does it add an extra layer of responsibility to you? I think you do a great job telling true stories anyway. It seems like you're maybe drawn to them.
I am.
Yeah, but telling these kinds of stories adds a layer of responsibility to
them. Yeah, particularly this period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Really felt that very, very keenly. I wanted to do right by it. I wanted to desperately to honour the millions that lost their lives in the Holocaust by celebrating 300 that survived and the extraordinary circumstances of that survival. So as a Holocaust genre movie, if we're going to say that's what it is, it's a very unusual one because it has its focus on sanctuary and on healing and hope and compassion, all of these things that Antonina exemplified.
That was one of the things I was going to bring up, is that one of the things that I thought was kind of special about it is that it is told from a female perspective, which is not something we generally get.
Not in a war movie. And logically, most of our war movies have been from the male perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But war also happened to women. Happens to children, happens to animals. And so this movie, I think, was able to shine a light on that and give voice to those experiences.
Why do you find yourself drawn to telling true stories over fiction? Is there a particular interest?
Yes, very much so. They are so interesting to me. and it makes my job so much easier.
Hmm.
And it means it's not even slightly about me.
Hmm.
My job is to share the story, to hold the spirit of the story, and share that with many people, you know, faithfully.
Hmm.
I love to be with real people. I love to be in real communities and real cultures, and oftentimes cultures so different to my own. And so the process is so nice for me, because I go and just hang out and I eat the food and I talk to people and I play pool in the bars and I just could spend as much time understanding the culture as I can, so that I recognize the truth of it. Then it makes my job so easy, because I can bring the filmmaking apparatus to, you know, I like to think of it as just lighting them up and showing them how amazing they are.
You plan on going back and maybe making another movie about your own culture again?
In New Zealand?
Yeah.
I'd love to at some stage, but to be honest, Whale Rider was such an incredible experience for me, not just as a filmmaker, but as a person.
Yeah.
I'm scared that I won't be able to have it, you know, come anywhere near it.
Right.
Yeah. It was a very special film for me to be allowed to make, actually.
Yeah.
All right, and that was my interview with Nikki Caro, director of The Zookeeper's Life. I think you can tell how excited I was to talk to her. You can check out my review of the film over at punchdrunkcritics.com right now. Thank you very much for listening. I will see you soon. Bye.